Phone's lagging.
Phone's lagging.
Phone's lagging.
I
got
it.
With your phone or you?
I was thinking, yeah, I've got that problem myself.
That's why I interject coffee into everything.
Are we ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Are we ready?
Are you ready?
Ready? Are you ready? All right, we're ready. No, she's not ready. We gotta wait. When are you ready? We're ready. Are you ready? No. Oh, okay. Well, we're gonna have to go anyway. Yeah, we're ready. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to each of you.
Merry Christmas.
We're so glad that you've taken time to be with us this morning as the hustle and bustle of the season is upon us. As the writer of the Christmas Carol, Silver Bells, wrote for us, right? Remember that? We're so thankful for those of you who have taken time out of your schedules to be here with us this morning. And those who aren't able to be with us, we know there's a lot of sickness going around and people have been out of, under the weather or taking care of sick kids. So if you're tuning in with us online, we're glad that you're here with us online. And we hope to see you in person real soon. You know, one of the things that this season causes us to do is to look back, right? The season often triggers all kinds of memories as we recall things from Christmas past. Even in the song we mentioned earlier, there are words that draw us back to a time when things were different. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, people dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. There was a time in the past when you would actually have to go into the city to go shopping, right? Like, there were no stores in the suburbs. You had to go downtown to get your shopping done. And it wasn't like you drove around from store to store. You would park your car in one place and you'd walk from store to store. Some of you are old enough to remember that, right? Some of us just have seen pictures of it. Who would consider doing that now? How many of you would consider going down Baltimore to go shopping? Right? There's like a lot of nods saying no way, right? The sidewalks back then were packed with people. And not only were they packed with people, but they were dressed to go shopping. I want you to think about that. In contrast to what we see in Walmart today, okay? People that actually go to Walmart in their pajamas to go shopping. Literally, I was Christmas shopping this week, and I saw this woman, and she was in her pajama pants and her fuzzy slippers. And I thought, who goes shopping in fuzzy slippers? But she does. She did. And I just like, wow, how things have changed so much since then. So today we will continue in our series Reflections and look back on how things have influenced the way we live today. So in consideration of this, I've listed some inventions for you. Okay, and I want you to think about these inventions. As you peruse this list, consider what life would be like without one or any of these, okay? Let's start way back, okay? So here's a list of inventions, invention and the date. First invention, the wheel, 3500 BC.
Wow.
Man, that goes way back, right? that predates Christ's appearance on earth. All right, so then we're going to jump to after Christ, all right? Because I listed these in what I thought was importance, okay? Eyeglasses, 1236 AD. Now, there's a lot of people in the room that are wearing some sort of glasses. Can you imagine going through life in a blur?
No.
Although a lot of people do without glasses, but that's a whole other story, right? Right, okay. Okay, how about this one? The first piano, 1709. The magic of the piano. I mean, it's one of my favorite instruments, right? It's just magical when it's played, and it can bring to life a song in a way that no other instrument, maybe outside of a guitar, could do. But I just love the sound of the piano. Here's one for you builders in the room, all right? How about plywood? 1797. And you're like, what? Plywood? How is that relevant? Plywood is relevant because plywood adds a lot of strength to material, right? So when you just have a regular board, and the board is 1 inch thick, and you just put it down, it has flex in it. But when you put plywood down, you're using several layers of wood, and it adds a lot of strength. It adds a lot of strength. So it's incredible what we can do with plywood, how we can build. All right, now this one is a personal favorite of mine, okay? The lawnmower, 1830. Do you know how lawns were cut before 1830? Do you know? Like, they used a sickle. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine mowing your lawn? Never mind, we're not even going there. Okay? All right, how about this one? Just, you guys can see this morning because of this invention, all right? The light bulb. 1879. Now think about all the years prior to that where there was no light bulbs, where you flicked a switch on and there was, I mean, electricity actually came a little bit before this, but a light bulb. Just think about that. We just take some of these things for granted, right? Okay, moving on. Television. Every home in America has TV today. Everyone. Right? In fact, they probably have more than one. So, 1884. How about 1886 when the first car was invented? Do you know how you got places before the car? You walked or you rode a horse. That was it. So 1886, the first car. Here's one that some of you probably used this morning and didn't even think about how long it's been around. The zipper. 1891. 1891 was the first zipper invented. That's pretty cool. I mean, how many of you used a zipper this morning? Like every room, every hand in the room, right? Yeah, right. Okay. Here's one. Now just think about the life without this one. A vacuum cleaner.
No way.
1901. How'd they do it before then? Like sweep? Could you imagine sweeping your carpet?
No, they beat it.
Oh, they beat the carpet. Yeah, could you? All right, right. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So you all have to take all your carpets outside of your house and beat them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Thank the inventor for that one, right? Okay, 1903. We're going to come back to this one in a little bit. The airplane. The Wright brothers flew the first airplane in 1903. It was actually on December 17th. Of 1903, so just a few days ago we celebrated that anniversary. All right, for those of you that have color TV, or have TV, we didn't get color TV until 1925. You know, growing up, I actually had a black and white TV, right? Yes. Right? So, I was like, Mom, wait a minute, color was 1925, what happened there, right? Okay, here's one, and this one really blew my mind. The refrigerator, 1927. Now, how many of you can imagine your life today without a refrigerator? I mean, when your refrigerator goes down, it's like life halts, right? You're like, ah! And you got to figure out what you got to do, right? It's major, right? Okay. All right. Now, here's this one. This one might not be like the one that you might not think is a necessity, but for me, it is. The chocolate chip cookie did not come into creation until 1930. I got one here. Mmm. I love them. Mmm. That is so good, and I just need some milk to go with it. But look, I mean, when I heard that, I was like, 1930? No chocolate chip cookies before 1930? Oh my goodness, that is crazy. Okay, all right, for those of you, some of you probably used this week, or sometime, maybe even today, I don't know, the ATM, not till 1967. You had to go actually into the bank to get money. You couldn't go to an outside teller and get it. Okay, now here's one. You guys, I guarantee you, you have touched this probably over 2,000 times this week alone. Right? You ready for this one? This is going to blow your mind. 1974, the UPC symbol.
Wow.
Think about that. What was it like before the UPC symbol? I mean, that's how we scan just about everything now, right? That's crazy. Okay, so we're coming into our century when a lot of these things are more common. How many of you remember life without a cell phone? 1984, yeah? Uh-huh. Or how about life before the internet in 1990? Actually, the World Wide Web was 1993.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You remember life without this thing. But can you imagine that with life without it now?
Yeah.
Some of them. Okay, yes. We could do it without the cell phone, maybe without the internet. But this is crazy. And this list is nowhere near exhaustive. I mean, I could have gone on for an hour and a half with inventions, and you'd have been like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know how long that was. I mean, can you imagine life without any of these things that we've come to depend on? I mean, just start with the first one, like the wheel, right? Without the wheel, the bike wouldn't have been built in 1885. The car wouldn't be in existence without the wheel. I don't know about that one. Some of you might be able to. Yeah, I'm including chocolate chip cookies in that category. Thank you for that lead-in, Mike. It's hard to believe that some of the things on this list we take for granted today are less than 100 years old, and some even less than 50 years old. Just think about that. That's kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. And we've just come to depend on these things. It's so easy to take things for granted, to miss the importance of a message, and to only see what we want to see, right? In this telegram sent to the Wright family after the successful flight, the telegram operator was asked by Catherine, Orville, and Wilbur's sister, "Did you see the news?" And his response was, "Oh, Orville and Wilbur will be home for Christmas." He missed the entire context of the message that they had flown the first successful flight. And all he saw was, oh, the boys will be home for Christmas. See, sometimes in the busyness, in our routines, we miss the most important details of the message. Now, you might think where in the world am I going with this, with all these inventions and such? I want us to consider this Christmas. What would life be without Christ? I mean, where would all humanity be if Jesus, the Son of God, was not born to Mary in a little town of Bethlehem where the prophets said he was to be born? Where would all of humanity be if that didn't happen? What would Christmas be like without that? Last week we used the verse from the Apostle Paul in Galatians to frame our message. And we're going to continue that in a minute. We're going to focus on the second part of it, of that verse today. And our message will be based upon it. As we delve into, really? Redemption? See, God had a plan a long time ago. And as we delve into this verse today, we're going to find out more of that plan. So God, we thank you for who you are, that you are a God who has given us the ability to reflect, to look back, to consider how our lives are changed. And I pray today that as we hear this message, that we'll consider what our life would be like without you. And we would turn us to being grateful for who you are and what you've done to give us freedom, to give us redemption, to give us salvation. We pray that this Christmas would be so special for those who have accepted the gift of your salvation for the first time ever. And that they would be so filled with joy and peace that they'd be overwhelmed by your presence. That's what we pray this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, right to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, Mary, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So last week we covered what the Apostle Paul meant by the fullness of time and the circumstances under which Jesus was born. If you weren't with us last week, I would encourage you to go to our Facebook page and check out that message. It will give you all the explanation of that first part of that passage. But as we continue in the verse, we're going to look at what Paul meant by the law and how redemption is involved in that. We need to understand that God loved us so much that he wanted to be able to personally communicate this message to us. The one thing about the law is that the law separates us from God. That's crazy, isn't it? You think the thing that God created, the law, but it actually separates us from God. And the one thing that Moses couldn't deliver when he delivered the law to the people was that connection to God, that personal connection. In the past, animals' blood was required for redemption. It was only through, the only way God would accept people and forgive their sins was through the sacrifice of animals by the priest. But I want you to think about that because it was temporary and it was repetitive. It had to happen over and over again. The people were in a routine and they missed the meaning of it. It was done out of ritual and requirement. But God did something eternal through sending Jesus. There was this man who he couldn't understand why his family, he'd gotten away from God, and his family wanted to go and celebrate Christmas each year, and they would go to Christmas service, and he would sit on his couch or his chair, and he would sit there and just read the newspaper, and he would get so caught up in what he was doing that he lost sight. Well, one Christmas, they had all gone to church, and all of a sudden, there's all this clutter and clatter outside, and he's like, what is going on? And it was freezing. Apparently, he was in a very cold area. And what had happened was there was this group, this gaggle of geese that had gotten so tired. They'd gotten so tired that they couldn't fly anymore. And so they landed outside in this man's yard. And it was freezing. In fact, it was so freezing that they had ice on their wings, and they could not fly anymore. It was crazy. And they were going to die. So he's like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I need to get them into a place that's warm. So he's trying to shoo them in the garage. And you can imagine this scene, right? And he's like, my gosh, they're so stupid. They're not even listening to me. If I could just be a goose, I could communicate to them that this is a safe place to go. This is where you need to be. But I'm not a goose. And all of a sudden, this revelation came over him. Oh my gosh, I am a goose. I've been a goose all these years, Lord, and I've missed the message that you've been trying to send to me, that you sent through Jesus. You came down in human form. You didn't have to do that, just so that I could understand who you were. And in that instant, the man fell to his knees and accepted Christ for the first time in a real way. Much like that, God sends Jesus to each of us, so that we can fully understand the message of salvation he had for us. Look, man was under the law, as Paul told us, but don't miss something important. I want you to look at that verse because it says Jesus too was under the law, right? That meant that in order for him to live a righteous life, what did Jesus have to do? He had to do something that no man had ever done before. He had to live up to the requirements of the law. In order for this to happen, I mean, I don't understand, I don't know if you get the gravity of what I'm saying here, but in order for that to happen, that means that he would never, ever, ever be able to sin. Not one. Not one. How many of us are free from sin? I mean, we probably sinned this morning in some way. If not this morning, then I guarantee you this week. But the only way that the law could be fulfilled was that Jesus had to be righteous. Because in order for Jesus to redeem those under the same law, Jesus had to live in accordance to it. I want you to flash back to 33 years after Jesus' birth, to the day he's standing before Pilate. He's on trial. And you think, man, that's crazy, right? Here's Jesus, this righteous man, this man without sin, and he's on trial. Do you know that he was convicted but never found guilty? I want you to think about that. Jesus was convicted for the sins of the world but never found guilty. He was convicted. He was on trial for us. At his trial, the only reason he was sent to the cross from a human perspective was to quiet the crowd. That's pretty wild. But that's not why he was crucified. He wasn't crucified to quiet the crowd. The writer of Hebrews reminds us why this happened. In Hebrews 10:5, it says this, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" Or you prepared for me, yes. In other words, all the sacrifices, all the offerings the people had been bringing to God would not meet the requirements God had in order for the people to be seen as righteous. That could only be fulfilled through Christ. In fact, if we look at what Paul wrote in Galatians 4 again, we see a shift between verse 4 and verse 5. In verse 4, all these things were part of the plan, but subject to circumstance. Okay? The time had arrived. But the shift happens when we get to verse 5. "So that he might redeem those who were under the law." The unveiling there is God's plan in verse 5. The reason why all this was happening, it was no longer circumstance, it was part of God's plan. You know, the reality is that we live in our circumstances. There are circumstances all around us, right? You're in circumstances right now that you might not understand. I mean, Christmas, you know, Christmas can be one of the saddest times of the year for people. Because they just can't understand why. They can't relate with why they're in the circumstances that they're in. It is often in our circumstances that question of why is asked. God, why am I going through this? Why am I here? But I want to challenge us this morning to think about it. Because once we walk through the circumstances, once we get through that circumstance, on the other side, don't we often see the why revealed? The why's uncovered. This is why it happened. We're stronger. It prepares us for something else. It made us better. It moved us from where we were comfortable to where we're stretched. Where we're more open to hear things we wouldn't have heard before. Consider Jesus' words as recorded by the writer in Hebrews again, verse 7 of chapter 10. "Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" Jesus didn't let his circumstances overshroud the will of the Father. Some of us need to hear that this morning because we're letting our circumstances swallow us up. And God wants to say, I'm taking you through this for a reason. It's part of my will for you, and you need to see the bigger plan. You need to trust me. See, Jesus knew the circumstances he faced were part of God's will because what was happening before was not what the Father desired. We just read that. It did not please God. The writer of Hebrews goes on in verses 8 through 10 and he says, first, this is Jesus talking, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. I want you to think about that. Though they were offered in accordance with the law. That was what the law required. But then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. He's basically saying, okay, that's what you required before, but here's what you required now. Me. And by that will, by God's will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God didn't come into the world just to do it for one person or just a few select people, as some people believe. He did it for everyone who would believe in Jesus. Jesus came to do the will of the Father to make those who believe in Jesus holy through the blood, the body, the perfect Lamb of God. The ultimate sacrifice. Now, imagine life without Jesus. Imagine Christmas without Christ. Imagine life without the redemptive action of the Father in our story. Ask any believer and they will tell you life does not get easier upon accepting Christ. The example is witnessed in all those who chose to follow Christ in the Bible and even Christ himself. None of them were without suffering. None of them were without persecution. None of them were without circumstances that could have been overwhelming. But what is evident in everyone who believes in Jesus and what he has done, even Jesus himself, we have peace. Some who have denied Christ all their lives have laid upon their deathbeds riddled with pain and torment of what was next. And some in those moments have received the gift of salvation and instantly been appeased. One of our friends just told a story of his cousin who was dying, who had turned his back on Christ for most of his life, and all of a sudden he was given the message of the gospel. He was dying. They couldn't even give him the news that he was dying because they didn't know how he was going to respond. They gave him the news of the redemptive action of Christ, and when he found out he was dying, there was no torment, there was no anguish. He was at peace. Where does that come from? Christ and Christ alone. I want you to describe what peace is not. Peace is not a world without torment or war, as so many people think it is. Peace, as described in the Bible, is found within the soul through the redemptive action of Christ, through his willingness to be obedient to the Father. That's what peace is. And peace cannot be found apart from Jesus. It will be the lifelong sought-after dream of this life if Christ is not the part of the equation. People will be seeking peace all their lives and not being able to find it if they're not doing it with Christ in their life. Those who have longed for peace apart from Jesus will be met with great disappointment because peace is only fully understood through the actions of what happened in that little town of Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. Don't miss the message of Christmas this year. Don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everything that tempts us to put our hope in things that are fleeting. Have you ever noticed that the bells that you hear are hung high in the air? The writer of the carol noticed it. The writer of the carol, Silver Bells, noticed it. He said, and above all this bustle, you hear. In order to focus in on the bells, you have to look up. There's a couple churches down in Canesville, and they have bells that play throughout the day. And I can tell you that when I have my headphones off and I hear the bells, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I stop and I look up. Like I look and try and find the direction from which the bells are being rung. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's the whole goal of the bells. Because the bells are meant to draw us in. And usually the bells are playing some sort of song or some sort of melody or something that reminds us of the message that the church is supposed to give. God came to earth through the baby born in a manger to cause us to stop and contemplate, to look up and see His love for us. It wasn't that God wanted attention. It wasn't that God needed attention. It was that He wanted to offer us redemption. So as I mentioned last week, we're going to have GERs, so you kind of remember the message, right? And the GER for this week as we head into Christmas is to consider this. God offered us redemption, really, for recovery. See, the gift of salvation is available to all who believe. If the brokenness of life has troubled you, if the weight of the world seems to be on your shoulders, God has an offer for you. He doesn't want you to remain in your circumstance. He wants to take you through that circumstance to see His plan in action in your life. And the only way that can happen is if you say, yes, Jesus, I believe what you did. But it can't stop there. See, too many people just say, they walk up to the cross and go, Jesus, I believe you died on that. I believe you died for my sins. Thank you so much. I'm going to heaven now. And they walk away. The message of Christ was not to walk away from the cross, but to carry the cross with you. To be a disciple. To follow Him. And to have peace as you do it. See, God has an offer for those who are broken, for those who are weary, for those who are downtrodden, who are depressed, who have no hope this time of year, who are caught up in the circumstances and the chaos of the season, worried about what's going to happen over the next few days and what I won't get done or what I will get done. He has an offer for you, and His name is Jesus, the author, the Savior, and the Redeemer. He will carry you through the darkest moments, and He'll lift you to the highest highs. All you have to do is ask, Jesus, come into my heart, because I want to believe in you. I want to have that eternal life. I want to have the hope that only you can bring. So look, if you've done that today, if you're listening and you're tuning in, if you're here in the room and you're saying, you know what, I've walked away from Jesus. I've not to walk with Him, and I want to be part of what He's called His family. As adopted sons, as Galatians 4:5 said. Let us know so we can help you walk this road of discipleship, because Christmas is a time of joy, a great joy, because Jesus came down in the form of a baby to save the world. And that's what we get to celebrate. That's what we gather around our tables and celebrate. Not the abundance of food, not the gifts that we get to give, but the gift of Jesus, the Son of God, to salvation of the world. So if you've taken that and received that gift today, we want to know about it so we can walk alongside of you. God, we thank you so much that you are a God who redeems, who saves, who transforms. And really, yes, redemption for all who would believe. What an amazing, amazing gift. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And as we celebrate this Christmas season, may we just imagine there what it would be without you. It would just be moss. No Christ. What would that be? It would be nothing. It would be a mess. You are the reason for this season, and we are so grateful for that. We give you all the honor and all the glory that you're worthy of. And we pray that as we celebrate this Christmas season, you are at the center of each of our gatherings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we get to continue to participate in worship this morning as we give. And as we honor God with our gifts, I just want to pray over them. So God, we thank you for the opportunity to give to you this morning. We thank you that you are a God who blesses and multiplies things. And we pray that you would do that with this offering and that you would be glorified in it. In your name we pray. Amen.